Thank you for your recording. The staff is under all lines open. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the DAC GNSO call on the 2nd of March, and on the call we have Konstantinos Komatis, Lanre Ajayi, Jeff Newman, Beth Bacon, Alan Greenberg, Jim Bykoff, Charles Gomes, Debbie Hughes, Steve Del Bianco, Wolfgang Kleinwächter, Thomas Rickert, Krista Papak, J. Scott Evans, and David Heasley, and Matthias Dodel from Uruguay. For staff, we have Jamie Headland, Liz Gaster, Brian Peck, Barry Cobb, Margie Milam, and myself, Glenda Saint-Gerie, and Natalie Peregrine. Have I left anybody off?
Yeah, Kieran Malincharyville.
Thank you very much. He is on the Adobe Connect. And Sam Paltridge has just joined with Greg Shatton, Jeff. So it's now over to you. May I remind you to say your name before you speak for transcription purposes. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jeff. And I will tell you when Susan comes on the call.
Thank you. Actually, I just got an email from Suzanne. She's saying that the password's not working for her.
I'll get the it's IOC.
Right. And she said that she's tried that and
okay, I'll talk to the operator about that.
Great. Thank you very much. Well, welcome, everyone, to this call. I appreciate the time that you're all taking to come out here to join us. And the purpose of this call is to present the status of the drafting team that's providing some advice to the GNSO Council in its response to the Government Advisory Committee's proposal regarding the protection of Red Cross and IOC names at the top and second level. My name is Jeff Newman. I'm the, I guess, group leader of the drafting team, and I want to express my thanks for everyone for coming on this call. I think it's the first pretty much of its kind where there's a joint call between DAC members and GNSO members prior to an official ICANN meeting, and I hope this is the first of many, and I hope that it's viewed as a productive call. With that said, and again, I'm just reading an email from Suzanne, who's still having a tough time getting in. So if someone can, Glenn, I'm not sure if you're on those emails, but I will
just send her an email with the passcode, Jeff.
Okay. I'm going to forward this to you, Glenn. If you
okay,
could
thank you.
Reach out to Suzanne. So again, thank you everyone for joining us. And so the agenda for those of you that are able to connect on Adobe is in the notes section below. What we're going to do is just a general introduction of who we are on the call, presentation of the status report, and then hopefully solicit some comments or questions from those that are on the call, and then talk about the next steps, including possibly posting this status report on the main ICANN site so that it's visible by a much larger audience. Just want to say a couple, I'll call them disclaimers at the beginning of the call. This is not an official GNSO Council call, nor is this an official GAC call. So any of the opinions that are expressed by any of the individuals should be taken as those opinions and not as any formal position of the GNSO, the GAC, or the constituency, stakeholder groups, advisory committees that the person comes from. So, again, the purpose is to have a productive conversation and to move things forward so that we can hopefully come to some resolution, at least between the GNSO and the GAC, at the ICANN meeting in Costa Rica, which is just a few days away now. Are there any, just a housekeeping, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free, and you're in the Adobe room, please feel free to use the button raising your hand so that we can get to you, or if you don't have access to Adobe and just want to interrupt, just let me know and we'll put you into the queue. Is there any general questions? Okay, great. So to just go over the status report right now, I submitted the status report as the group leader or the chair of the group and not in any kind of formal capacity. I really drafted this as kind of a guide to help us through this call and for the next steps. So it's not any kind of official report, but I do appreciate the fact that this report has been circulated now on a number of different lists, and groups are using this report and the recommendations that are in there as the jumping-off point for making comments. And then I think that should continue. What we're doing here is, as everyone knows, just to recap, during the ICANN meeting in Singapore on June 20th, the ICANN board adopted a resolution that provides for incorporation of text concerning protection for specific requested Red Cross and IOC names for the top level only during the initial application round until the GNSO and GAC develop policy advice based on the global public interest. That's taken directly from the resolution itself. ICANN staff then used that resolution in order to draft section 2.2.1.2.3 in the applicant guidebook, which was first incorporated in the September 19, 2011 version. The version that was presented by staff or staff's implementation of the resolution, just to note for the record, was not done with any kind of public comment period, was not done with any kind of discussion as to why they did what they did. ICANN staff in its implementation essentially proposed a plan which at the top level would protect the exact matches of the Olympic and Red Cross marks and a few of the translations that were included with the specific original letter that the IOC and the Red Cross had submitted. The staff went on to say in that section in the applicant guidebook that unlike all of the other names that were reserved at the top level, these names would not go through a string similarity review, nor would these names be available to the International Olympic Committee or Red Cross if these entities wanted these names. So the very first task that the drafting team set out to do was to address what we felt were loopholes in the staff's implementation of the board's resolution. The board's resolution only stated that it was to provide protection for the top level. It was the staff that decided in its implementation in the guidebook to only include these limited protections and not the full string similarity review. This was pointed out in the GAC proposal, the GAC had a proposal that they submitted on September 14, 2011, which contained their proposal for protections of certain International Olympic Committee and Red Cross, Red Crescent names. Later on, the GAC followed that up with a question and answer document which addressed some of the questions that people had on the proposal, but also addressed these points of not at the top level of not going through a string similarity review. So the first thing that the drafting team decided to do was to address these loopholes at the top level, given that the application window at the time that the drafting team started was to open just a month or two away, and we now find ourselves in the middle of that application window. The application window, as everyone knows, for the top level closes on April 12th. So while there are still considerable amount of work that the drafting team still has to do at the second level, we decided to focus on these loopholes at the top level initially. So at the top level, the drafting team discussed a number of different options in response to the GAC proposal and ultimately came out with the recommendation that's posted in the recommendation report that starts on there's three recommendations that start on page 2 of the status report. There's three recommendations related to, one, how these reserve names would be treated. The second recommendation deals with, the translation issue or how to protect those in multiple languages. And the third recommendation deals with how to apply these protections in this round as well as in future rounds. So that's how we broke up the recommendations. And then to go back more specifically, the first recommendation has a number of different subparts, but essentially it's creating a new category of reserved names that we, for lack of a better term, came up with the term modified reserved names, meaning that they would be treated in some respects like the reserved names in the rest of the applicant guidebook at the top level, but modified in some significant respects to reflect the discussions that took place at the drafting team, but also to address the concerns that were raised in the GAC proposal that was followed up by the Q&A document. So the first part of recommendation one, the drafting team decided that it made sense that these names, although they would be reserved, they should be available, the exact matches of these terms should be available to the International Olympic Committee and the Red Cross, Red Crescent movement as appropriate. So to the drafting team, it made sense that, you know, while there needed to be some protections, if the IOC or the Red Cross or any of their components actually wanted their names at the top level, that they should not be precluded from getting those names. The second part of the recommendation was that, unlike the staff's implementation of the board resolution, which states that there would be no string similarity review, it made sense to the drafting team to recommend that that these names actually do go through a string similarity review. What the group spent some time talking about was that, you know, if someone applies for Olympics with the letters OLYMPIKS or OLYP, sorry, I'm spelling this wrong here, OLYMPIX, it made sense to the, or didn't make sense to the drafting team that those would go through without any sort of string similarity review. But the second part of our recommendation is that those strings that are applied for should go through the string similarity review, and if they are identified as confusingly similar to these reserve names, the Olympic and Red Cross names, that they not pass the initial review. That, again, is very similar to the way that other terms on the reserved names list, like ICANN, IETF, GAC, it's very similar to those terms where they do go through a string similarity review. The third sub-recommendation is that if an application does fail the string similarity review, and the applied for TLD identically matches one of the reserve names, for example, Olympic or Red Cross, that it cannot be registered by anyone other than the IOC or the Red Cross as applicable. So I think that's pretty self-explanatory that, you know, if it's an exact match, that we at least for now would say that would fail the initial review and would not go any further. If, though, the applied for string is not identical, but does fail the string similarity review, which is, again, just to remind people, that review is while initially based on an algorithm, it's a subjective determination by a panel. So if it does not pass that review, then the drafting team believed that there should be an opportunity for the applicant to seek a letter of non-objection from the International Olympic Committee or the Red Cross as applicable, or if it can't obtain that letter of non-objection, that the applicant has the opportunity to claim that it's got a legitimate interest in the string and provide its detailed explanation of what that legitimate interest is, along with an explanation of why it believes that the new TLD it's applying for would not be confusingly similar to one of the protected strings And it makes it clear that the use of this new TLD will not refer to the IOC, the Red Cross, or any Olympic or Red Cross activity. The drafting team also felt that a determination in favor of the applicant, so let's say it goes to a panel and the panel does find that there's a legitimate interest in the string by the applicant, that the this determination by the panel should not preclude the Olympic Committee or Red Cross from or other interested parties from filing the an objection under one of the other objection grounds that's identified by ICANN in the guidebook. And then finally, the point that's made in the recommendation is that if there is a letter of non-objection, or the applicant is able to pass the string similarity review, that should not prohibit the Olympic Committee, the International Olympic Committee, or the Red Cross, Red Crescent Movement from later applying in that round or a subsequent round for that mark. So, for example, if the IOC gave a letter of non-objection for the mark Olympics with an X for whatever reason, that should not preclude the IOC in a subsequent round or even in this round from getting Olympics with the CS. So we just wanted to make sure that would not be used against the Olympic Committee or the Red Cross. One thing I also want to point out while going through these recommendations is that the International Olympic Committee and the Red Cross, Red Crescent Movement have been active participants in the group. We have all welcomed their participation in the group and appreciate it. And I do think that also makes this drafting team kind of unique in some respects, that we've had active participation by those that have an interest in this. Of course, they've disclosed their interest and we're all aware of it, but I do believe that their participation in the group has been a great help to all of us. I'm going to stop after this recommendation to see if anyone has any questions. I know that was a lot of material for the first recommendation. But I just want to stop and see if there's any questions or comments on that first recommendation.
Hi, this is Suzanne, Jeff. Sorry, it took me quite some time to get into the call, so my apologies. I just wanted to thank you for the overview.
Great. Well, I thank you, Suzanne, and I apologize for the technical difficulties in getting in. But I appreciate that you're on the call. And so I'll just continue on then to the second recommendation that the drafting team had put together was to protect the IOC Red Cross, Red Crescent terms in as many languages as feasible. The GAC had proposed, just to look at the GAC proposal, that the IOC and Red Cross, Red Crescent names should be protected in multiple languages. All translations of the listed names in languages used on the Internet, the list of protected names that the IOC and Red Cross Red Crescent have provided, are illustrative and representative, not exhaustive. So the drafting team spent some time talking about the GAC proposal, and while the drafting team did understand that the list that was submitted by, the initial list submitted by the IOC and Red Cross Red Crescent was illustrative, the draft and that the protections that we recommend shouldn't just be limited to that list, the drafting team also understands the need that we do need to come up with a list so that that could be applied in the string similarity review. So what we've asked the International Olympic Committee to do, as well as the Red Cross, is to help us produce that list of marks that they seek protection for. Or I should say of the translations that they would seek protections for. Yesterday, the International Olympic Committee did give the drafting team a list. I don't think that the drafting team has had time to review that list. Actually, it may have been 2 days ago now. But we do appreciate the Olympic Committee submitting that list to us. We think it is definitely a comprehensive list, and we are still waiting for the Red Cross, Red Crescent to submit that list. The Red Cross, Red Crescent did submit a note to the drafting team that they wanted to be protected in every language that's used on the Internet, And again, while the drafting team certainly appreciates that and certainly does not wish to deny the Red Cross or Olympic Committee any of the protections that they would have under law or otherwise, there is a feasibility practicality aspect of this when it does go through string similarity review. And unfortunately, there is a list that's needed at that point. So while we certainly appreciate the concept and want to adhere to that concept, we still need to have a list in order for it to be feasible. So I do believe that the drafting team's recommendation is consistent with the GAC proposal, but just modified in that feasibility category. Any questions on recommendation number two?
Hello, it's Mark Carvel ringing from London. Just to say, I've only just joined the call, actually, because I was dialing the wrong number.
Hello? Sorry about that, Mark.
Yeah, sorry. I hope I haven't missed anything too important. Well, I'm sure I've missed important stuff, but anything that needed input from me. Well, I'm glad to hear that the IOC have provided a list. And did I understand you're awaiting a similar list from Red Cross, Red Crescent? Is that right?
Yes, unless it was submitted in the last half hour. But, yes, we're waiting for that list. And I do see that Deborah Hughes, who's from the Red Cross, actually has her hand raised. So I'm going to yield to Debbie.
Good morning, good afternoon. This is Debbie Hughes, and I just wanted to update this group to the comment that that we were not going to provide a list. I know there's been a lot of emails, but if you recall in my email to the drafting team on Tuesday when we were talking about reserve names, at the end of that email I did indicate that the Red Cross, Red Crescent is actively contacting all of our member societies, and that it is our aim to produce a list before the ICANN meeting in Costa Rica. And I know that probably got missed perhaps at the end of that email, but it's certainly there, and wanted to make sure that all members of this call were aware of our intent to provide such a list. We have over 194 national societies, and to do such requires deliberation and some time. So just wanted to correct that statement. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Debbie, and thanks for that update. And I didn't. If I came across as representing that you weren't going to submit one, I apologize. No, you're absolutely right. You did make that statement, and we look forward to getting that list. So thank you, Debbie. Okay. The last recommendation, and Mark, welcome to the call. All we're doing now is really just going over the status report. So it's everything that you probably have read. We went over recommendations one and two, and we will start a general discussion again on these. So if you do have anything to add or any questions, we'll go back to that. I apologize for the technical difficulty. I think you had that issue, and Suzanne had that issue as well. So I apologize.
All right. Okay. Thanks very much.
The third recommendation or the third aspect of the protections at the top level that the GAC had proposed was that these protections – should apply not only for this current round, but for all subsequent rounds of new GTLDs. The drafting team spent a little bit of time talking about this and ultimately came out with a recommendation that the drafting team's intent is to make recommendations that would apply for this round and future rounds, but like all other aspects of the new GTLD program, they may be reviewed after the first round to see whether we missed the mark, to see whether additional protections are needed, just to do a general review. It's not, the drafting team is not mandating that a review take place on this. It's just saying that one may be done if this is something that the GNSO or the GAC or anyone in the community wants to undertake that review. So those are the three recommendations at the top level. Just to go back for Mark and Suzanne that had difficulties joining the call, we focused a lot of our time at the top level because of the fact that The application round is in less than or just a little over a month now, and in order for us to focus on an area at the top level, we need to make sure that our recommendations are in prior to the end of the application window. This would give at least a little bit of time if we could recommend it to the board and the board were to adopt it in Costa Rica. This would give a little bit of time for the applicants that may be thinking about applying to actually have some notice. While not the most ideal amount of notice, which would have been prior to the application window opening, it does give a little bit of time for applicants to get notice of these protections. The other thing I do also want to go back to, which I think is a key point, which we'll talk about in a little bit with respect to the letter that ICANN staff has sent to the drafting team with respect to next steps. The board resolution at Singapore talked about the staff's incorporation of text concerning protection of these Red Cross and IOC names at the top level. The board did not dictate the implementation of that resolution. ICANN staff on its own went back, took the board resolution, and put an implementation plan into the guidebook. That implementation plan, as you can see from our recommendations, had some loopholes in it, but that implementation plan had never gone out for public comment, and so this was the drafting team's attempt to resolve those loopholes in order to correct some of the flaws that we identified, and also, frankly, the GAC had identified some of these flaws as well. I did want to make that point again for Mark and Suzanne. Any other questions at the top level before I jump into where we are at the second level?
This is Suzanne. If I could just make a little comment.
Absolutely, please.
Thank you so much, Jeff. And thanks again to you and the drafting team for your work on this and for, frankly, identifying these loopholes in the board's resolution, because we did not, if I may say, just speaking for myself, I certainly didn't catch it. So, and I'm very, very pleased that you have the benefit of representation on the drafting team from the IOC and the Red Cross directly, because I think that's probably made an enormous difference. So I just wanted to thank all of you for having identified and now closed proposed solutions to close those loopholes. Obviously, our proposal, of course, focused on the second level, because we had misunderstood, that the board resolution had us all covered. So I just wanted to express my appreciation for your attention to the detail. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Suzanne. And I, too, appreciate the participation of the Olympic Committee and the Red Cross. I think I think I speak for the group with that appreciation, as they were able to quickly respond to some of our concerns and some of our questions, and so I think that they've been very valuable in the group. So as you pointed out, Suzanne, the bulk of the GAC proposal does deal with protections at the second level. The reason, again, we do know that it's very important for us to address those concerns, and we didn't intentionally push those off in a way to ignore the GAC proposal, but more as a feasibility practicality of trying to get the top-level issues closed before we get to the second level. Reason being is, even though the application period closes on April 12th, the second-level protections are protections that are incorporated into the registry agreements. The registry agreements are not going to be entered into until the registries are, after they apply and they go through evaluation and they're ultimately selected. It's at that point in time that these groups will be entering into the registry agreements, which, if you look at the current timeline, is probably going to be no earlier than the fourth quarter this year or the first quarter next year. I do want to stop for a second because I see a question on the chat that Wolfgang has a question for the GAC members. So, Wolfgang, is it at the top level or is it at the second level?
This goes to the top level.
Okay, great. Yeah, so then I will why don't you ask the question? And again, just to remind, the same reminder, I know people joined in after the disclaimers, You know, everyone's participating here in good faith, and while you may ask a question, and if an individual GAC member would like to speak, that's great, but just keep in mind that they're not speaking on behalf of the GAC, may not even be speaking on behalf of the country they represent, but if they do choose to answer it, it's most likely a personal opinion, so just keep that in mind. Thanks. And Wolfgang?
Yes, you know, we discussed the Red Cross and the IOC question as two separate cases, and in the meantime, there was also a letter from other intergovernmental organizations which raised issues which were not discussed by our group, but my question goes to the GAC. You know, how do you see this? Is this a very exceptional case, the Red Cross and the IOC, or is this just a first step, and this will be followed by a lot of other exceptions for other intergovernmental organizations which want them to have the same treatment?
Can I take a crack at that? This is Suzanne, and Mark, feel free to chime in if I omit anything.
Yes, please, Suzanne.
Yep. Okay, yeah. Go ahead, Suzanne.
Well, thank you, Wolfgang. I think, and hopefully it should be embedded in transcripts from the meeting when we made the proposal, but we had felt we had been more clear, so apologies if we hadn't. We do think that the IOC and the Red Cross actually are fairly exceptional. In fact, I think they are exceptional. As the only two entities that we are aware of, and some research, in fact, considerable research has been done in this regard, they're the only two that actually meet what we consider a very high bar of having two levels of protection, and the first is treaty-based. So they have protection in international legal instruments and in statutes in multiple national jurisdictions. So this is a two-pronged levels of protection, if I may say, whereas we've done some research also into the IGOs, and to our knowledge, none of the IGOs meet that standard. Mark, feel free to compliment. I may not be as articulate as I would like to be.
Mark, speaking from London, yes, I mean, that's basically the position that we discussed within the GAC as to why these were unique, exceptional examples that merited protection through the reserved list. The GAC has not considered extending beyond IOC and RCRC. All the GAC discussions has been with regard to these two cases and the merits of the case, as Suzanne has described, based on existing national and international protection, some of it treaty-based, the objectives of these two organizations in respect of global humanitarian activities was also highly relevant to establishing that high bar. The current exchange between in the form of the letter from the IGOs that Wolfgang referred to with the ICANN chair, I think the letter was addressed to the chair if I remember right, is not something that the GAC is a party to. And we don't, and there's no provision in the current GAC work to bring this issue of the other IGOs into our current work plan. Thank you.
And Susan, Mark, thank you very much. This was very, very helpful.
Yes, and thank you, Mark and Suzanne. And I also want to point out that was the also in the question and answer document from the GAC to the GNSO. I believe that was in late October when you delivered that, and I think that question was specifically addressed and answered the same way. So thank you. Konstantinos, you have a question, comment?
Yes, thank you. Just a very quick follow-up. Thank you very much, Suzanne and Mark, and I do appreciate that you cannot speak on behalf of the GAC, but it's just because this group really talked about the potential precedent that this might set. Should an international organization come straight to GAC and ask for that type of protection? Can the discussions in GAC, can this group be assured that the work of this drafting team and any recommendations that come out of it will not be used as precedent in order to justify special protection for WIPO, UNESCO, which UNESCO, for example, is also engaged in humanitarian and the preservation of cultural heritage. So is it possible, can we assume that this will not escalate to the point that anybody else will come in and use this as a precedent if they come straight to GAC and they don't go to the ICANN board? Thanks.
Well, it's Mark from London speaking again. Well, from my personal perspective, my reaction would be, if there was such an approach, that this would have to initiate another course of discussion amongst the GAC, entirely separate from what we've been doing in respect to the IOC and the RCRC. So the position I would take is that there could be no extension from the work that we've been undertaking over the last, year and a half or so with respect to IOC and RCRC. So I hope we would be able to reassure you on that point.
This is Suzanne, if I could chime in as well.
Yes, please.
To my knowledge, if I recall properly, there was a representative from one of the IGOs that was in Dakar. I believe it was the OECD. And there was a brief discussion, but I think we actually conveyed the same explanation that we've conveyed to you, to them as well. Nonetheless, I mean, no one should be surprised that there is such a letter sort of seeking that protection. Several of us have been approached in capital, by the way, because we're all members of these organizations. But there are other tools available to the IGOs, those of whom are observers to the GAC, and many of them are, can certainly use the GAC early warning system and the objection system, and they also have the right to file a legal rights objection to the extent their name is protected. So there are other tools and other avenues.
Thank you, Suzanne. Thomas?
Thank you, Jeff. There has been some discussion in the drafting team surrounding the question or the fear that by giving special treatment to special organizations, that these organizations would be given rights or treatment that would go beyond the legal protection for these names. Now, we do appreciate that for the IOC and the Red Cross, Red Crescent, there is the special protection international treaties and national legislation. I just want to seek some reassurance from the GAC representatives, having in mind the Q&A, which said something along the lines of, is this the GPML again? And there was some reassurance that this would not be the case, because in that discussion also there was the fear of granting extra rights that would not legally be there. So I think in the light of that, if the GAC could confirm that that the GAC representatives are of the same opinion that, you know, we mustn't create any precedents where organizations are granted rights beyond their legal positions, that would be much appreciated.
Well, Mark from London, if I start off, well, I'm very happy to give you that reassurance that that's certainly not a consequence from this that we would support, that this would somehow empower those two organizations in ways that are unrelated to the specific objective here.
Thank you, Mark. Anyone else have any comments on that?
I certainly hope this is helpful to the drafting team members.
This is Jeff. I think it is, and I think also to the counselors that are on the call as well. So some of the people that have been asking questions may not be on the drafting team, but are just counselors listening in as well. So going back then, any other questions or comments at the top level? Okay. At the second level, we as I started to say, we haven't made as much progress, but we have an outline of the questions that we need to answer in the order in which we need to answer them, along with an outline of different options that could be on the table. So, for example, the very first question that the drafting team will need to consider based on the GAC proposal, is whether the Olympic or Red Cross names should be reserved at the second level in the new GTLDs. You know, that's the general overarching question. Depending on the answer to that question, and so if it's a yes, there should be some forms of protections, then we've laid out some options that are really just the very beginning stages of discussion. So these are not, the drafting team has not chosen any of these options, nor had really comprehensive discussions on these options. But the options you could see in the paper are they could be treated as forbidden names, meaning that no one could ever register those names. I will note that that would include those organizations. So if you reserve Olympic, not even the Olympic Committee could register Olympic.anyNewTLD. We note that that's obviously an extreme example, and we also note that that is specifically not what's requested by the GAC. The GAC actually in the Q&A made it pretty clear that this is not the option that they would recommend. But, you know, just to make sure that we covered and checked all the boxes, that it is an option that will be discussed by the drafting team. The second option is to treat it as sort of a modified reserve name, meaning that they can only be registered by the applicable organizations. The third option is to treat it as those names as the two-letter country codes are treated now, where the registry operator could propose the release of those based on implementation measures to avoid confusion. In the country code example, to avoid confusion with the country codes, here it would be to avoid confusion with the IOC or Red Cross, Red Crescent activities as applicable, or it could be treated more like country or territory names that's currently in the guidebook, which are you basically need to go to that specific country to get agreement with that country that you could use that country or territory name. The equivalent here would be you'd have to go to the Olympic Committee or the Red Cross to get some sort of to reach agreement with them on your projected use of those names. Each of those options have unique issues, not only with respect to how they would go about seeking those approvals, but also how, from a practical standpoint, that would interact with the real-time registration process that registries currently have. And so there are some technical issues that will need to be considered, as well as the policy issues when we get to it. That's the different options that are so far on the table. There could be other options that are hybrids of those or that are in addition. So, again, the drafting team has really just begun its discussions on these options. If the drafting team chooses one of those options to protect the names, then obviously the mechanisms of how to implement those will need to be discussed. And then the drafting team also notes the proposal by the GAC to not only include the specific Olympic and Red Cross marks that have been identified, but also include them all in the six UN languages. And to note, again, that the recommendation at the second level or the proposal from the second level from the GAC is not to protect in all languages, but the proposal on the table now is just the six UN languages. Is there any comments or questions on where we are on the second level?
Suzanne here, and thank you for noting that our proposal, of course, goes for complete protection. So I certainly appreciate that. My question was, what do you anticipate us taking up in Costa Rica between ourselves or in the GAC GNSO meeting? How do you want us to prepare our colleagues for that exchange?
I think in Costa Rica, I think we're going to probably have our hands full with the top level.
Okay.
Just to be honest, and then we'll get into the staff letter that we just received in a couple minutes. So I think we're, with the limited time that the council has to meet with the GAC, I think most of the discussion should probably focus on the top level so that we can make sure that we get to a decision point for the GAC and the council to recommend to the board, the actions that need to be taken. I think at the second level, what the plan is from the drafting team is immediately after the meeting in Costa Rica, we're going to continue our biweekly calls on the second level protections. There's already been some good dialogue that's taken place on the mailing list on these options, and it's our plan to present to the ICANN board, hopefully in the PROG meeting, our proposals on the second level. So that will be well in time before any registry agreement needs to be finalized or even any applicant is selected. So hopefully we can meet that timeline.
Okay, so the idea is, if I may, and apologies to others if they have their hands up, the idea is that we meet on Sunday, I believe, GNSO. So you would like to get from us a signal that, yes, we agree with where you're going, and then you take it to the council. Would that be on Tuesday to get a green light to then take it to the board?
The council meets on Wednesday afternoon, and yes, if everything goes well, and in the ideal world, what I would like to see happen and the drafting team would like to see happen is that the council would vote on it on Wednesday to send it to the board for the board to make a decision at the board meeting on Friday. But I will footnote that with we need to discuss what the letter that the drafting team just got from the ICANN staff yesterday on this. So if I could turn to that, let me do that. And Konstantinos?
Yes, just very quickly, Jeff. I thought that we also need to discuss the issue of the public comment period that is not really resolved, whether these recommendations and when, more importantly, will go out for public comments. Thanks.
Yes, thank you, Konstantinos. And that also in relation to the ICANN staff letter. So let me address that now. And Konstantinos, please feel free to chime in if I miss anything or if you have any questions. Thomas, your hand's up. Is that new or is that left up?
Sorry, I was on mute. That's not new. So I'm going to take my hand down. Sorry.
Okay, thank you. So yesterday, although that was our plan, Suzanne, that I conveyed to you, yesterday we received a note from ICANN staff commenting on the recommendations. And although there was no substantive comment on the recommendations themselves, the ICANN staff made a couple points in their letter. And there's been some interesting dialogue on the list already, the drafting team list on the staff letter. But essentially, the staff letter states that it thanks us for the work and then goes on to say that they believe the path forward should be, one, augmenting the written proposal as they understand it with policy reasoning for providing this type and not other types of protections, and B, a public review of this significant policy addition. They go on to state that the drafting team should state why protection should be afforded to these organizations in particular, and why not others, and how the introduction of strings likely to result in user confusion is acceptable in these cases. Finally, they should provide I guess there's a misunderstanding with staff that they say that I don't know why this is their belief, but it's their belief that we did not recommend any protections at the second level. I'm not sure why that message got out there. We haven't addressed it yet, or we're just starting to address it. So I think that's just a little miscommunication there in the letter. But then it does state, as Constantino says, that there should be a broader public review, that there should be public vetting of the decision after the team submits the report to the council, and then a 30-day public comment period opened up by the board before the board could act on it. They point out to the fact that this would be traditionally when the GNSO council deviates from existing policy that this 30-day public comment period is afforded. So that is what the ICANN staff letter states. Obviously, if there's a 30-day public comment period, there's really no way for us to meet the deadlines to do any protections at the top level, which means it would be the status quo, which means that these loopholes would stay in effect. I just, from a personal level, completely personal, I was disappointed with this letter. It's not that I don't believe that there shouldn't be public comment. In fact, one of the things I'm going to recommend is that the status report go out immediately on the ICANN site so that it's distributed to a broader group. What I'm a little unsure about, and I've sought clarification on a couple things, is one, ICANN staff really did this implementation mechanism on their own. It never went out for public comment how staff chose to implement it, which I don't necessarily believe was consistent with the board resolution. But even so, I don't think the staff's implementation plan is actually a policy. I think it's implementation, and I'm not sure whether just because there's 30-day public comment period in other policy situations that this necessarily falls into that category. The other thing I do want to note as the chair of the drafting team is in November we made an express request to ICANN staff to get its rationale for why it chose to implement the board resolution in the manner in which it implemented it, including these questions as to why they didn't have string similarity review. We did pose that question to ICANN staff in November. To date, the drafting team has not received a response from staff on those questions. And I find it a little ironic that we're being asked to justify our change to the staff's implementation when the staff's original implementation never went through any kind of public comment period. So those are, again, just kind of as a that last part was a personal comment. Again, I do not want to ignore the component to get some public comment. I believe if we can post it now on the ICANN website that, you know, while not 30 days and while not the most ideal, I think in order to close these loopholes, I believe ICANN should immediately post this on their site and distribute it as far and wide as they can so that we can be in a position in Costa Rica to move forward. But with that said, let me also turn it to Chuck and Alan, who have their hands up. So, Chuck?
Thanks, Jeff. This is Chuck Gomes. I'm representing the Registry Stakeholder Group on in the drafting team. Jeff, I'd like to suggest that we open up a comment period as close to immediately as possible on this. And I would also, I also think we should only open up the comment period on the specific recommendations that are going to be considered by the council and hopefully the board too in Costa Rica. If we make it too broad, it's going to be very hard to get the feedback the GNSO really needs on the specific recommendations at the top level. I believe we will have time subsequently to have plenty of public comment period on other things that we work on, such as the second level. So, but if we make it too broad a comment period, and considering it's very short, we're going to lessen our chances of getting the feedback that is really needed on the specific recommendations that will be on the table in Costa Rica. Now, that does not mean that we can't provide links to the status report and links to everything that the working group has done, and we can encourage people to contact their representatives on the group to get more information and so forth. But if we don't narrow our focus in the comment period with such a short window, we're not going to get what we really need, I don't believe. So I strongly recommend we start it right away and we narrow the focus to the specific recommendations that are going to be under consideration in Costa Rica. Thanks.
Thank you, Chuck, and I think that recommendation makes a lot of sense, and certainly want to hear from everyone else on that. Alan, you're next in the queue.
Yeah, thank you. In light of what I'm going to say, I'm not sure that what Chuck's suggestion is something we should do. The staff letter threw me for a loop on a whole bunch of levels, I'm afraid, and if indeed the board is not going to take any action at the Costa Rica meeting, that is, before the application round closes, then I think that changes the whole set of premises that we're working on. If indeed we are only talking about what happens in round two and further, and that seems to be the case, then it's, number one, it's not urgent. There's several years in which we can do it. Staff is also saying now this is policy, not implementation, which implies a different type of GNSO action required to formally approve new policy. I would not. The recommendations which are on the table in Jeff's report, I supported. if indeed it's, they are only for round two and following, I don't support them at all. I think they are premature. I think we could be informed by what happens in round one an awful lot, and we shouldn't be attempting to get these approved right now or even put them out for comment, because I believe they were created under premises which may not be appropriate. So I'm not quite sure where we go at this point, but I'm not happy with the situation and how we got into it. Thank you.
This is Suzanne. Could I join the queue if somebody else doesn't have their hand up already?
Well, Chuck and Constantinos are in the queue.
Okay. After them.
Yes, or Chuck or Constantinos, do you want to yield to Suzanne?
Well, no, I don't. I don't want to yield to Suzanne.
You don't have to.
No, the reason I want to go ahead is because I want to respond to something that Alan said. So I'm just kidding, of course.
Sure.
So
Chuck, please.
The one reason I disagree with what Alan said is that it would be reducing the urgency of what we're doing based on that letter. And like others have said, I think that letter was seriously flawed. They didn't even talk about the time sensitivity of what we're dealing with. So I think that we should not base our timing based on anything in that letter. That we should go ahead with a sense of urgency. If it ends up not being that urgent, fine. We haven't lost anything. But I think we should continue with a sense of urgency, because the application period is ending on the 12th of April, and it would be very good if something happened before then. It may or may not, but I suggest we continue with a sense of urgency and go ahead and open a comment period. If we can extend it later, that's fine, but let's get people's feedback on this recommendation right now. Thanks.
Thanks, Chuck. Constantino's next, and then Suzanne.
Thanks, Jeff. Given the amount of work that this drafting team has put into it, I think that I agree with Chuck. I think that the recommendations need to be very specific. However, we should not compromise the public period, the comment period, because of speed. And for me, the fact that the staff did not put out for public period their own recommendations is not justification for not putting these recommendations out for a public period. My understanding is that there need to be at least 21 days of public comment, and also that the GNSO Council has always made a point of requesting that comment periods sort of halt during the face-to-face meetings. And we need to remember that these recommendations, Jeff, are informal. You've done an excellent job in drafting them, but they have not been vetted by the drafting team, officially at least. So before we submit them to the GNSO or the GAC or for a public comment, we need basically to vote on this and make them official. Thanks.
So, Constantinos, I'm going to go to Suzanne, and then Alan, and then I'll put myself
in.
So, Constantinos, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I'm done. Thanks.
Okay. Suzanne?
Oh, thank you. And thanks to everybody else's comments. I would like to concur with Chuck's proposed way forward, and then I have a couple of questions and observations. Frankly, I found I find it kind of stunning to have the staff weighing in at this late hour when this initiative has been well underway for several months. So I'm finding it slightly disappointing, and not just from that perspective, but quite candidly, we in the GAC, and I cannot speak for everybody, but I think I'm fairly confident that my colleagues are likely to agree with me. We have taken the ATRT recommendations, there are five of them that pertain to the role of the GAC in ICANN. We have taken them very, very seriously, and as some of you probably know, there is a new joint GAC board working group on those five. And quite candidly, we have looked, certainly Mark and I have, I don't think I'm putting words in your mouth, Mark, I hope not, you correct me. We have looked to this initiative as well as to the parallel work we're doing with registrars and ICANN staff for the RAA as examples, if you will, of different ways of working, newer ways of working, where certain issues, and certainly on this issue, the board has already endorsed to a great degree the concept, and then they've asked us to go flesh out details. I agree with you, Jeff and Chuck. These are implementation details in our mind. This is not new policy. These are implementation details. So we flagged, and this is how the GAC sees itself, we flagged a concern that had not been addressed, and we made the case, we thought, that these are unique entities that deserve this protection, and they have this protection legally, and that we are now trying to jointly work with you, and this is a new method of working, if you will. And I just am somewhat disappointed that we're being presented with obstacles that would prevent us from actually living up to the board's own resolution of offering protection at the top level. And I just am very loath then to build in so much more time that we end up kicking this down the road. I think that misses the point. And it certainly is completely contrary to what the GAC initiative is all about. It is, in fact, to protect these names at the top and the second levels in this round. So I fail to understand why the staff is not being more supportive. And believe we need to talk this through a little bit further, perhaps face-to-face with them in Costa Rica. But I'm prepared to continue to go along with your initial idea and think we need to stick to that plan. Thank you.
Jeff, this is Jay Scott. I'd like in the queue.
Sure. I got Alan, and then Jay Scott, I'll put you ahead of me. So Alan and Jay Scott.
Thank you. I have no problem supporting what Suzanne said and, in fact, what Chuck said. The only caveat I would say is that if the end result is that this does not have any impact on the first level in this current round, then I think we need to go back to the drafting board and rethink what we do for the second round in a different time frame. We put this recommendation together to fix a problem in the first round with the understanding it may well be reviewed afterwards. And I think it has to be in that context. So if we go out for public comment, it should have the caveat saying this presumes it will alter things in the first round. If it doesn't, then I think the drafting team or some other structure needs to come back and look at it very carefully. There were a lot of other things in the staff memo which are disturbing. We were asked to justify why we felt this protection was necessary and didn't apply to others. If the GNSO is to do that, I think we need a legal staff and staff from people who understand treaties and national laws a lot better than we do. So we need to, in parallel, go into what the note said and try to understand what we were supposed to be doing, because some of us may well have had a different impression altogether. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Jay Scott?
I have a few points. One, with regards to Constantino's comment that this hasn't been vetted, I suppose he was referring to your summary, not the fact that the recommendation has been fully vetted. And I think Chuck's recommendation on the call today and in the email list was that we wouldn't put your summary up for public comment, but simply the option that is set forth with the multi-layers. So I want to make that point. Secondly, we're treating this differently because the GAC has asked us to. So, you know, staff acts as if they are somehow not present nor privy to any of the transparent materials that led to where we find ourselves today. That is not the case. I would simply reflect back to them that they need to read transcripts if they want to know why we're here today. I think that, you know, if this isn't for the first round, then everything is useless because there will be so much of a problem, especially for the Red Cross, that we might as well not do anything at all, ever, because the problem is going to occur in the first round, and it's too late to talk about second round. We either do it now or we don't do it at all, and I think the GAC has set out very specifically and very clearly why they believe these deserve to be treated differently. We were tasked with coming up with a solution for that, and I think everyone has worked hard to do that in a balanced fashion. So, you know, I am not at all, I'm a little irritated that staff acts as if they aren't a part of the process when in fact they were. And they work at the behest of the board. So, you know, they need to go talk to their boss about what we're doing and quit asking us questions.
Hear, hear.
Thanks, Jay Scott. I put myself in the queue, and then I'll have Greg is also in the queue after me. A couple points I wanted to make. I agree with the notion of putting out the recommendations as for comment. So that's what I was referring to, and so I agree with Chuck that I believe ICANN staff should do that immediately. We do have some ICANN staff members on this call, so I'm hoping that they've heard what we've said and will immediately put that out on the ICANN main page with links to the status report, to the mailing list, links to the board resolution, the section in the guidebook, and some other things. I think that would be really helpful at least to get that up today so that we have at least, you know, 10 days before the council has to, or close to 2 weeks before the council actually votes on this. I kind of want to echo something that Jay Scott had said about, you know, look, the staff has given us their opinion. The staff doesn't control the activities of ICANN. ICANN is the community, and so if we feel that things should be done differently, if we being the drafting team, the GNSO Council, and the GAC, if we in a multi-stakeholder fashion, bottom-up process, believe that ICANN staff is incorrect in their views, then we can still pass it and send it to the board with or without staff approval. Of course, staff is certainly welcome to present their opinions to the board, but I don't want staff's letter to scare us into not even presenting it to the board. I think that would be a mistake to not continue down the path we had started on. Finally, I do want to say that I did last night try to come up with some things that I could put together from discussions that we've had on the rationale. So I went back to the original board motion, and I want to note that there's nothing in the preliminary report on the rationale for this part of the new GTLD resolution. There's a lot on all the other parts of the resolution, but the ICANN board nor staff posted anything about the resolution, about the rationale for the Olympic and Red Cross protections. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm saying, you know, the GAC and the letter submitted by the IOC and Red Cross, I think, do a great job in presenting the rationale. But if you look at the – interesting to note, if you look at the board papers, the briefing papers that were put online, you have the IOC's letters, you have the Red Cross letters, and then you have 4 or 5 pages of redacted materials that are listed as privileged and confidential, which I'm assuming is the rationale for why the board did what it did. I find it highly disturbing that that's all redacted. I find it interesting that that's redacted, but now the ICANN staff is asking us to provide our rationale for the similar protections, which we're piggybacking on to what the board did. I just think there's a lot of mistakes here. I think this is actually a broader discussion that we should have with staff, but it's just interesting to me that they're asking us to provide a rationale when their entire rationale is redacted.
I'm sorry, Jeff, but why are we supplying a rationale when it was the board's rationale that led to this work? That's the basis of the rationale, and the GAC has been very clear. I don't think it's up to us to give another to regurgitate what is already on the public record and what has already been stated.
Yeah, I think, Jay Scott, I think that's right. I was trying to be helpful and trying to point out and just put links and references to those materials, but I couldn't even do that because it was redacted. So that's,
in other words, you're a lot nicer than I am, but I mean, I'm a little fed up.
Yeah. Thanks, Jay Scott. Let me get to Greg and then Alan.
Hi, this is Greg Shatton. Some of what I said has already been said, or some of what I was going to say, rather, has already been said, but I would echo that I don't think it's up to or should be up to us to create kind of an independent, in-depth legal analysis that would require a legal staff to produce. I think that pointing back at the GAC letter and the concept of the unique tapestry of legal protections, should be sufficient, to answer that request. And I think it should be seen as a request, not a requirement. The idea that this staff letter should be seen to, somehow change the game seems to me to be the antithesis of a bottom-up multi-stakeholder process, and to, reveal some sort of autocratic methodology that I don't think is warranted here. And having just seen Star Trek, the Phantom Menace. I hope we're not seeing Counselor Palpatine turning into Emperor Palpatine, in terms of what the powers of the board staff are, relative to the constituencies and the communities that make up ICANN.
Thanks, Greg. I'll note for the reference that this is the first time in a number of years I've heard the Star Wars analogy. So I commend you on that.
It's just been re-released in 3D, so this is not an advertisement. I do not work for anybody associated with that movie.
Thanks, Greg. Anyone else have any comments or questions on this?
Mark from London. Just very briefly to say, I think the approach that Chuck described is the right one. My general feeling is this is pretty unhelpful from the staff, and it doesn't recognize the situation we're in, really, to contemplate a process like this. And I also agree with the sentiments about some of these questions seem to be rather out of order coming from the staff. We've been open, and it's been a very public process, so far, and it's been all very open, and the direction from the board has been very clear and helpful. So I agree with everything that's been said so far on this. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. And so let me pose the question to, not to put the, there's some members of ICANN policy staff on here. They're not the ones that provided the opinion. But Margie, Brian, Natalie, and Barry, does it seem feasible? Can we get a commitment to get this posted on the ICANN? By this, I mean the recommendation specifically posted on the ICANN site as early as today?
Jeff, it's Margie. I guess a couple questions. What exactly do you want us to post, and is it the view of the drafting team that it should be posted? I just want to confirm that those two are the issues. I can't address the issues in the memo because that's really the services team that needs to respond to all of that. And then the other point, just so you are all aware, there's a new public comment process that was adopted at the beginning of the year. So it's a 21-day period followed by 21 days, so it's a total of 42 days. But assuming the drafting team is okay with posting whatever it is you want us to post, we'll get that up today.
Okay, so I think the recommendation is, and I've not heard anyone oppose it, so I'll put it out to the drafting team to see if anyone opposes it. But the recommendation is to post the recommendations, which are now in section, it's incorporated in the status report as section, starting at protections at the top level. Just post recommendations 1, 2, and 3 on the ICANN site, along with a link to the status report, a link to the original board motion, and a link to the section in the guidebook. Four links. The guidebook, the board resolution, the status report, and to the archives, the email archives of this drafting team. That's the proposal. I'm not seeing, does anyone, Alan, your hand's up, does anyone have opposed that idea of putting that out there for a comment.
Jeff, it's Alan. My comment was going to be that I don't oppose it, but it should be done with the preface that this recommendation was made with the understanding that it would impact the first round. And if it doesn't, we may need to rethink. Thank you.
Okay, let me go to Greg and then Chuck.
I would go a step further, or maybe a step different than Alan, which is I would want to state that the posting for comment and the comment periods wouldn't prejudice the ability of ICANN to implement these recommendations at the first level, at the top level, or at the second level when we get there. But given the timing, it's really the top level that's the concern. And if we have a 42-day comment period and a reveal date that's, you know, May 1st and, you know, various other timing issues, I think, you know, otherwise we need to find some balance between neutering the entire intent of this, or a large part of the intent of this group, and transparency.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Greg. And I think that's an important point that, you know, we're not necessarily, by putting it out for comment, we're not saying we necessarily agree with that 42-day, that this should go out for 42 days. I appreciate the statement from Margie, but again, I think our goal is to just get the information out there. If that means that, Margie, that you don't say this is an official public comment period, but you just say we're soliciting input and you word it a little bit differently, that's fine. But I think Greg's point is a good one in that we're not intending to prejudice it by saying, well, now we've put it out for comment, so we've agreed that 42 days is the appropriate time, and therefore it wouldn't be in the first round. I think that's a very important point. Chuck?
Thanks, Jeff. I just suggest we add one thing maybe at the beginning of the posting, and that is that we recognize this is an exceptional process because of the time constraints that we have, and that we should specifically say there is the possibility of council action in Costa Rica, so that people are aware of that.
Yeah, Chuck, this is Jay Scott. I agree with that, but I think it should also say that not just time constraints, but acknowledge what Suzanne and Mark have talked about, a new working relationship with the GAC.
Good point.
And because I think this is a living, breathing organization, and everyone needs to get their head around that things will continually change as circumstances change.
This is Suzanne. Could I chime in as well?
Yes, please.
Well, first I wanted to thank you all for this, because the urgency is there, and I think it is moot if somehow we subject this to a different process. So I like the characterization that it is exceptional. And let me ask, would it help if one of the links is also back to the original GAC request?
Yes, I think that's helpful as well. So I have a link to the status report, link to the GAC request, link to the guidebook, link to the resolution, and where's the fourth one? I know I have the fifth one. There's another one there I just missed in my head. GAC request, guidebook, resolutions, status report, email archives.
Archives, right.
Okay. Anything else that, Thomas, you're in the queue?
I think together with the link to the board resolution, you should state that this is implementing the resolution.
Excellent idea.
These are recommendations implementing the board resolution. Okay. Greg, is your hand new or is this left over?
It's an old hand, sorry.
Okay. Margie, you, is there any question that you have on this?
No, but what I think I will do is after the call, I'll send an email to the list just confirming what we're posting. So we'll try to take a stab at drafting it and send it to the list. Does that sound all right?
Yeah, please. And just let us know timing of when your web team can get it up there, and obviously time's of the essence on this, and so letting us know that this will be posted, that would be great.
Okay.
Does anyone, so again, the next, just to recap, the next steps will be posting this, the recommendations and what we talked about up on the website, meeting with GAC and the GMSO Council and the drafting team in Costa Rica at the scheduled time, hopefully getting direction from the GAC and the Council that this is these recommendations are the way forward, to also then present a resolution to the Council approving these to send to the board. I will note that we have to have a resolution, at least a draft resolution, in place by 8 days prior to the meeting, which would be, if my math is right, by this coming Tuesday. So I will draft up the resolution, understanding there could be wording changes in between those 8 days, but at least the main part of the resolution. We do have the it should be all three recommendations that are posted. The second recommendation is on the translations. We already have the International Olympic Committee list. We're waiting on the Red Cross list. That should be to us before Costa Rica. Kieran, you have a comment?
Jeff, it's Jim Bykoff. My only comment was, do you also want to link to the Q's and A's? Because they've been mentioned several times during this conference call.
Right. So, Margie, it would be a link to the GAC proposal and to the and a separate one to the Q&A document.
Okay, got it.
Yes, thank you, Jim. That's important because that actually does clarify a bunch of the issues that we talked about.
Jeff, this is Jim.
Yes.
I just want to take this opportunity to publicly thank you for taking the laboring oar, not only with moving everything forward in a very timely manner, but also all the drafting that you've taken on from initial process, and you are to be commended. Thank you.
Hear, hear. I couldn't agree more.
thank you, Jay Scott, and thank you. Thank you, everyone. This is, I'm excited about this because I think it's really the first time that we've engaged in this kind of collaboration with the GAC, and I think, I do think it's a model for going forward. And I hope that we can prove that this is a successful way forward. So thank you very much. Any last questions or comments?
Mark from London, the options for second level, I may have missed it. I presume you've got IOCs and RC inputs into the options. It strikes me that option four is desirable in allowing some flexibility with the agreement of the IOC and RCRC if anybody seeks some release from the list, but what is the status of this now? Sorry if I've missed something very obvious.
No, that's okay, Mark. I think the groups have we've just really started the discussions on the different options, so we've invited everyone to weigh in on them. The International Olympic Committee and the Red Cross are also invited to give their opinions and. If the GAC wants to start a discussion on some of these options as well, that would be very helpful. If you do have some advice. Is everyone still on?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm still on.
Okay.
Yeah.
I apologize for that. So if this is a subject that you have time in Costa Rica to take up or on your mailing lists or have any ideas, we'd certainly love input from you all. Because I don't think you discussed these options in any kind of detail proposal.
No.
Right. So,
Susanna, I will take that away and flag this up for colleagues on the guide. Yeah.
Right. And if there's other options as well, this is only the preliminary list of options. They're, just like we did at the top level, we came out with, I think, five initial options, and it turned out this was option 7. So it was one, the one we came to eventually turned out to be kind of a hybrid that ended up as option 7. So just because we've started out as these initial options, it could be very likely that you could have an option 5, 6, or 7 that look a little like these, but take elements from each part. So, you know, this is just really the beginnings of the discussions.
Okay, thanks for clarifying that. That's helpful. Thanks.
Jay Scott, we are only putting out the top level recommendations, correct?
Correct.
I just want to make sure top level recommendations are basically just a genesis of a jumping off point. But the only thing we're seeking public comment on are 1, 2, and 3 related to the top level, given the fact that the application window is getting ready to close.
Right. So that's for the official public comment. But my secondary request to, you know, members of the GAC, if they wish, is to look at the options that we've presented in this report and give us feedback on those for our subsequent work after Costa Rica. Okay? Well, thank you, everyone. I know we may have gone over time, but I really appreciate the time everyone spent on this call, and I think it's very productive, and I think will lead to a very productive meeting in Costa Rica. So thank you, everyone.
Adios.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.